that you will continue to do so through this series that we are sharing over the next few weeks. I do want to remind you, for those of you who may not have realized it, this fall series we are doing a little differently, like we have done a couple of times in the past, and it's worked real well. I am preaching on Sunday mornings, and then on Wednesday nights, I am teaching and we are discussing, because there are oftentimes opportunities that you have about questions, about things that I have preached or said that you thought, I just would like to dig a little deeper there, or I would like to go into that a little more, or I have a question about that. And Sunday morning doesn't offer an opportunity to do that, but Wednesday nights does, and this is so crucial. This is so crucial. Getting fit spiritually is so crucial to our spiritual walk, and so I encourage you, when you can, be here on Wednesday nights. If you can, text or email me your questions if you have some from Sunday mornings, and then we can incorporate them. But for sure, try to come on Wednesday nights and let's be a part of it. We have we started last Sunday, if you remember, with the series Get Fit, and I want to read this text for you again this morning from 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. I'm going to read this at the beginning of each because it's kind of foundational. It is foundational. Notice what he says. Train yourself to be godly. Somebody say train.
Train.
You got to train yourself to be godly. We talked about that last week. If you missed the sermon, it's up online. You can go to it and listen to it. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. So we talked about spiritual exercise last week, and we talked about it some on Wednesday night as well. And this morning, though, I want us to get right down into where we live, and I want to talk about first things first. First things first. I was in communication this week with two professional trainers they do this for a living. They're professional trainers. And I asked them this question. I said, what are two or three things that when somebody starts getting their body in shape or getting their body back in shape, as the case may be, what are two or three things that you have to keep reminding them over and over? And they responded, and I was fascinated by the first thing that both of them had to say. And here it was. Be consistent so you train your body to crave healthy habits. Wow. Then they added this. One of the trainers added this. Our bodies crave what we give it. Wow. I don't know why I crave chocolate-covered donuts. That is because your body craves what you give it. I don't know why I crave pound cake. This is a confession. This is not an illustration. This is a confession. Crave pound cake because when I get an opportunity, that's what I give it, right? Our bodies crave what we give it. I'm going to tell you something this morning. The same thing is true of your soul. By soul, I'm going back to the Greek definition there. Mind, will, emotions, and conscience. Your soul, the person that you are, the individual that you are inside, your soul craves what you give it. Your soul craves what you feed it. The professional went on to say, your bodies crave something, crave what we give it, so give it something healthy so it will crave what is healthy. Amen? And the same thing is true with our souls. So this morning, I want to talk with you just for a few moments, because that's where putting first things first comes in this morning when he talks about spiritual exercise. And I want to show you how that relates and how training connects to what I've just talked about this morning. And in order to do that, it's fascinating. Before the scripture comes up on the screen, I want to read for you something, because it is fascinating the way that Peter writes this. Peter writes, I just want you to listen to a minute before we get to the verse on the screen. Listen to this. Peter's writing to a group of Christians who have been through some tough things. In fact, he has written to them about standing strong in their faith and this sort of thing. In the second letter, some problems have come up, and he's addressing that. And one of the things he says is this: his divine power, that is God's divine power, has given us everything we need for a godly life. I want you to listen closely. Has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil. Let me pause there for a second. It sounds like Peter is saying it's all done for us. Listen. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for a godly life. If you stop reading there, it sounds like God has given us everything we need. He's done it all for us. There's nothing for us to do, which is why it's so important not to take Scripture out of context, but to read it in context. Because the very next statement he makes is this. It's found in verse 5 through 9. Notice what he says. For this reason, make every effort, somebody say effort, to add to your faith goodness, and to your goodness knowledge. Knowledge there is the actual specific word that means knowledge of God. It's not human intellectual knowledge, it's knowledge of God. And to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness. And to godliness, mutual affection. Mutual affection means brotherly kindness. It's kindness one to another. And to mutual affection, love. Watch this. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, say increasing. Increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge. Again, the words there, knowledge of God with a personal emphasis. They will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter is saying that God has made everything available. He's made everything available. It's all there. It's all available in Christ. He's made everything available in Christ that we need, but we must exercise to be strong in Him and be useful to Him. There it is. He has given us everything. Listen, there is nothing outside of Christ that you need. There's nothing outside, and everything that you need is in Christ. But if you take that and just pull it out of context, it makes it seem that there's no effort required on our part. But two phrases here jump out to me that I want to show you. I just want to camp out for just a moment and show you this, and then I want to give you, we're going to talk about an actual couple of exercises that help us to do this. Notice in verse 5, make every effort. It means apply with all diligence and eagerness. It's the same word or similar to the word train in Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. In fact, that word train over there in that verse, that word is where we get our word gymnasium. Anybody go to the gymnasium this week? Anybody go to the gym this week? Oh, two or three, four, half a dozen? Yeah. That word train is where we get our word gymnasium. So this idea of exercising, spiritual exercise, is actually ingrained into the very definitions. This word, make every effort. This word, make every effort, is related to that. It means apply with diligence, apply with eagerness. It means be consistent. It means do it day after day after day. It means it should be your normal routine. It's what I do normally. You do understand, don't you, that exercise serves us best when we do it consistently. It is not that you get up one morning and you decide, today I'm going to get fit. And you set out to run 3 miles. You run one and you walk two. But then you come in and you do about 45 crunches over 2 hours. You do some push-ups. You do some chin-ups. You do some planks. Anybody here can do a plank? You do some planks, right? Just a whole day of it. And because you have done all of that, Spiro, you're fit. No. Because you have done all that, you can't get out of bed the next morning. It is not that you decide to and get in fit in a day. It is that you make every effort. You are consistent with it. You apply with diligence. You apply with eagerness. You wake up in the morning, Paul says, and make every effort to add. The word there, add, is interesting. It means to add something or to increase in somebody's life something that is useful. I have some people in my life that give me something useful when I'm with them, when I'm around them. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There's certain individuals that when you are around them, they lift your spirit. They lift your emotions. They encourage you. There's something useful that they add to your life. Maybe it's through conversation. Maybe it's through just being around them. And they add something useful. That's what this is here. That's the idea here, is that it adds something useful into your life. So you make every effort. You're diligent. You're consistent to add something useful, watch this, to your faith. Now, I got to tell you, that's an interesting statement, because faith means trust in, confidence in, and reliance on God. Trust in, confidence in, and reliance on God. You would think, in fact, some people will tell you, all you need is faith, and yet the scripture says, make every effort to add to your faith. Do I have confidence in God? Absolutely. Do I trust in God? Absolutely. Do I have reliance on God? Absolutely. But we are told in this instruction, make every effort to add to that trust, add to that confidence, add to that reliance on God. And we are to add, watch this, add to your faith goodness. Goodness means just what it says. It is this inherent character of God that is good. It is moral excellence. So you add to your trust in, confidence in, reliance on God, you add moral excellence. In other words, you exercise so that moral excellence is part of your being, is part of who you are. You add to goodness knowledge. Knowledge is a personal, comes from a personal, intimate knowledge. Think personal relationship, intimate relationship with God. So you exercise so that you have a personal relationship with God, an intimate relationship with God, right? It's not enough to just know. There's a lot of people know about God. Satan knows about God. But with due diligence, with due exercise, I can add to my confidence in, trust in, and reliance on God. I can add to my personal relationship. Isn't that good news to know that you can add to your confidence in God, personal relationship? In other words, you can grow. You can increase in your personal relationship with God. Add to that self-control. Wow. That's an exercise in and of itself. Self-control is a really complicated word. In the Greek, it means control self. And I say it's complicated because it seems complicated sometimes, right? But we can exercise unto self-control. The idea, let me just offend somebody right off the bat here. Just right off the bat. The idea that I can't help it is an excuse. That's just the way I am is an excuse. That's just my personality is an excuse. If you do your spiritual exercise, you can learn to control self. And that adds to my confidence in, my reliance on, my trust in God. Add to self-control, perseverance. You do understand, don't you? You do understand, don't you? That perseverance in the body, in the physical body, perseverance comes from doing some day after day after day after day. You can't run. You likely, most here this morning, could not run a mile today if you had to run a mile today. If I put $1,000 at the end of a mile, many this morning just simply could not run the mile. But if you run a little each day, if you increase some each day, I see some of you saying, try it, Pastor, put the $1,000 down there. I ain't going there. But you know what? That's interesting. I hadn't planned that at all. I hadn't planned that at all, but it's interesting. I'll tell you what it does tell me, Ben. If the incentives are enough, we'll do it. If the incentives is enough, we'll make the effort. Why isn't the incentive to exercise spiritually enough? That's just extra this morning. That's just, you didn't have to pay for that at all. Exercise perseverance. Keep on going. And to perseverance, godliness. We talked about this word last week about godliness, about the character and the nature of God in us. That is that we, through instruction and patience, we learn to be like God. And to godliness, so I'm not going to preach that again this morning. You can go back and listen to the message last week. But add to godliness mutual affection or brotherly kindness. And then to brotherly kindness, love. Can I just pause there for a second and tell you this? These things are added to our lives as we exercise spiritually. As we exercise spiritually. We think they should just come natural to the Christian. I'm telling you that Peter writing here indicates that they don't just come natural, but they will come more natural when you exercise spiritually. Amen? Then he says this. Watch what he says. He says, because if, down in verse 8, because if you possess these qualities in increasing measure. In other words, there is no I've arrived. There is no I got there. So we have two extremes that are being dealt with. On the one extreme over here is this idea that I can't help it. It's just who I am. On the other stream is perhaps this idea, I'm arrived, I've arrived, I've got there, I've been a Christian for so long. Yet Peter says it should be an increasing measure. In other words, I must continue to exercise. It must be part of my life. It must be part of who I am. Why is that, Pastor? It goes to what I taught about Wednesday night. I'll just mention it here. Listen, the natural progression when you leave something alone is back to the wild. The natural progression of a body that is fit and chiseled. If you leave it alone, the natural progression is back to flabby. That's what happens naturally. The natural progression of a beautiful flower garden that I've gotten all of the weeds out of, if I just leave it alone, the natural progression is back to the wild. But if I exercise spiritually, my soul does not have to go back to what it was. My soul can continue to be more and more and more like Christ. In fact, in verse 9, I don't have it on the screen. In verse 9, Peter says, for those who do not add these qualities have forgotten what God delivered them from in the first place. Wow. They've forgotten what they were. Because if I remember what I was, I'll turn and look at who I can be. And that's what I'll desire and what I'll hope for. He says, because if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, it means greater amount day by day by day. Watch this. He says, and when you do, they will keep you from being ineffective. The word there is useless. They will keep you from being ineffective and useless or unproductive. The word there is unfruitful. In your knowledge, that is your personal relationship with Christ. You do understand, don't you, this morning, that without spiritual exercise, you will be ineffective and unproductive. There will be this uselessness and this fruitlessness in my personal relationship with Christ. It doesn't mean I don't have faith. It doesn't mean I don't trust Him, have confidence in, rely on Him. It means that I haven't followed the instruction to exercise so that I add to faith goodness and I add to goodness knowledge and I add to knowledge self-control and I add to self-control perseverance and I add to perseverance godliness and to godliness brotherly kindness and to brotherly kindness love. What Paul is telling them is to apply themselves diligently in order to add to their confidence in Christ an ever-increasing amount of these qualities so that it will make them strong and useful in Christ and to Christ. You can grow in Christ in ever-increasing measure. How do you do that? Spiritual exercise. That's how you do that. That's how you add to your life, spiritual exercise. You see, all you need is in Christ. Christ, listen, Christ has provided for you all that you need. When you got saved, you were welcomed into the gym. When you got saved, you were welcomed into the family. You were given all that you need. Your premium has been paid, but you have to exercise. I'm not talking about salvation. I want to be very clear this morning, and I said it Wednesday night. I'll probably say it often through this series. I want to be very clear. You cannot exercise or earn your salvation. It is given by grace. I'm not talking about salvation this morning. I'm talking about how to grow once I am in the family of God so that I'm not ineffective and unproductive in my personal relationship with Christ. Lord, forbid that I end up at the end of my day and God say to me, I gave you all that you needed. Why didn't you exercise it and become the man that I've called and created you to be? When we say, I want to stand before him and him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't think we ever connect that to becoming the man or woman that God has called us to be. Spiritual exercise is what keeps me from being ineffective and unproductive. All that you need is there in Christ through spiritual exercise. Now, you may be thinking this morning, Pastor, Where does that put us? Here, let me do this. I don't often do this, but I want to do this this morning because there's a paraphrase. I don't often use a paraphrase reading from the pulpit. I will sometimes on Wednesday when we teach. But this paraphrase of this verse is so powerful. I want you to hear it because it makes it a little more real. What Paul says, watch this. You need more than faith. You must work hard to be good. But even that is not enough. You must then learn to know God better. That's a key phrase. You must then learn to know God better and discover what he wants you to do. Next, learn to put aside your own desires so that you will become patient and godly. Gladly letting God have his way with you. This will make possible the next step. Watch this. This will make possible the next step, which is for you to enjoy other people and like them. I'm sorry, when I read that, I just had to hang my head. I'm like, we feel like that should come natural, but we exercise under that. Then he says, and finally, you'll grow to love them as well. Yeah. The more you go on in this way, watch this, the more you will grow strong spiritually and become fruitful and useful to our Lord Jesus Christ. Then verse 9, which is not on the screen, he adds this. But anyone who fails to go after these additions to faith is blind or at least short-sighted and has forgotten that God delivered them from the old life of sin and that now he can become strong and have a good life in Christ. How do you do that? You add to faith with spiritual exercise. So this morning, I want to give you two spiritual exercises that help us to give ourselves what we need most. What we need most. There are two specific exercises that I want to talk about this morning. Two primary exercises that help us to give our bodies what we need most. Because what we crave is what we feed ourselves. I want to crave what I need most. So I want to give you two spiritual exercises this morning. This is going to be as practical as I can get it, but I just want to talk about these two things this morning. The first of those is meditation. Meditation. I know that's a strange word to many in Western culture, and it's because we have allowed Eastern religion to rob us, you know, transcendental meditation, yoga, meditation. We've allowed those Eastern religions to rob us of true meditation. Do you do understand, don't you, this morning, that the word meditation, there are two biblical words for meditation. I'm sorry, two Hebrew words in the Bible for meditation, and they occur 58 times in the Bible. Meditation is not an Eastern religion thing. It's been stolen by Eastern religion. Meditation is actually biblical. It is the idea of contemplating, reflecting. It is intentional thinking. And the two biblical words for meditation, the two Hebrew words found in the Bible for meditation, mean, watch this, they center around the idea of reflecting and listening and encountering God. You know what my soul needs most is an encounter with God. My soul needs most an encounter with God. When I woke up at 5 o'clock this morning, what my soul needed most was encounter with God, an encounter with Him. Other forms, by the way, let me just draw some distinctions here so we understand what we're talking about. Christian meditation is unlike those other forms that we talked about in two crucial ways. Those other Eastern forms of meditation, they emphasize detaching. Detach from the world. Detach from your business. Detach from your personal life. Detach from yourself. It is this idea of detaching. Can I tell you something? Christian meditation is the idea of attaching. It's the idea of attaching to God, attaching to Jesus Christ, attaching to the Holy Spirit, attaching to His Word. When I meditate, when I think on, when I reflect on, when I contemplate God, what am I doing? I'm giving my soul what it needs most so that my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, my conscience will attach to God. They can have that old form, that false form of meditation about, I don't need to detach. I need to attach the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the source of life, because He's greater than all of that other. It is contemplative. It is reflective. It is intentional thinking. Rather than meditation seeming mysterious to you, meditation is intentional thinking, intentional concentration. It is intentional. Psalm 63:6 is just one example of this. Here's what he says. On my bed, I remember you. I think on you. That's the word meditate. That's the Hebrew word meditate. I meditate on you through the watches of the night. The writer of this psalm says, when I lay in bed, you know what he's saying here? He's saying actually his nighttime hours are actually redeemed through meditation. I'm not going to sit there and think about worry. I'm not going to sit there and think about what I don't have. I'm not going to sit there and think about the troubles that I have. I'm not going to sit there and think. Instead, in the night hours, I am going to think on you. Let me ask you this one. When is it you have your most fierce mental, emotional battle? It's at night when you lay down and the mind won't cut off, the mind won't shut off. You know that it's the truth. This psalm says you can redeem that time by contemplating Him, reflecting on Him, thinking on Him, meditating on Him. Notice what it says there. See, listen to me. The purpose of meditation, I want you to get this. Richard Foster wrote this. The purpose of meditation is to create the emotional and spiritual space which allows Christ to construct a sanctuary in your heart. Oh, wow. My soul needs Him most. It needs Him most. Spiritual meditation. Listen, as you meditate, this exercise, watch this, incorporates God into your life and you are changed. In Christian meditation, there's this continual emphasis on hearing, obeying, and being faithful. What meditation is a bold call for you to come into the presence of God for yourself. The pastor doesn't have to do it for you. The youth pastor doesn't have to do it for you. The evangelist doesn't have to do it for you. You can come boldly into the presence of God for yourself. And then when you are with Him, meditation seeks to do, watch it. Meditation seeks to think God's thoughts, to delight in His presence, to desire His truth, to think about His way. And when we do, watch this, meditation sends us out because we have been with God, because we have what our soul needs most, because we have, we go out into our world with a new perspective and a new energy and a new vision and a new thought about the way things should be God's way. Meditation. I know what some of you are thinking this morning. Pastor, I don't think I can meditate. I don't think I can meditate. I have news for you. You already do. You already do. But most of you know it by a different name. Worry. You do understand that worry is negative meditation. You already meditate. You just don't realize that's what it is. Thinking on that problem, analyzing that problem, how can I get out of that problem? How wrong I've been done with that problem, right? What are you doing? Some of you last night meditated on something negative. You already meditate. Come on now. You got quiet because you know I'm telling you the truth. You already meditate. What I'm talking about here is the spiritual exercise that says, I'm going to intentionally for a few moments each day, at least a few moments each day, I'm going to intentionally think on Him, think on His goodness, think on His promises, think on what He has done for me, think on all that He has accomplished for me, think on the Lamb of God and the blood of Jesus Christ, think on the Spirit of God, which is His life in me. I'm going to intentionally meditate or think on Him. That's a spiritual exercise. Do you know why many of us find it so awkward and difficult and strange? Is because it would be just as strange if you went home this afternoon and tried to do some setups. It's awkward because you don't do it. That's why it's awkward to us. This idea, this biblical idea of reflecting on God, thinking on God, putting Him first, and sectioning out a time and a place that helps us to just isolate everything else and think on it, it feels strange. It feels awkward. The reason it feels strange is because it's a new exercise. Can I challenge you to do something this week? Can I challenge you to chisel out some time very early in your day? If you have to get up just a few, 5 minutes, just 5 minutes early, can I challenge you for the first 5 minutes of my day when my feet hit the floor, I'm going to think only on God, not what my day has for me, not what obstacle is in the way, not what problem I have to solve, not how much I hate the situation that I'm running into, not what I might face when I walk out. For the first 5 minutes of the day, I'm going to think of the One who gave His Son for me. I'm going to think of the great gift of Jesus Christ. I'm going to think of the incredible gift of the Holy Spirit living inside of me. I'm going to think on His promises, that He has promised to keep me and provide for me and to lead me. For the first part of my day, I'm going to think on the One who is the source of life. Listen to me. That will add to your faith. And it will strengthen your personal relationship with Christ. You don't believe me? Try it this week. Second part of that, the second exercise, and I've got to hurry this morning. The second exercise, in fact, let me say this before I leave meditation. Meditation as a spiritual exercise is intentionally thinking on God. And as you do this exercise, you know what happens? God becomes incorporated into your soul. My mind, try it tomorrow. Start your day meditating on God and see if it doesn't change your mind, will, emotions, and conscience. It will change you as you continue to strengthen yourself in that exercise. That's what spiritual exercising by way of meditation does. It incorporates God into your soul. What you might find, if you take the time to meditate on God, what you might find is that God has an answer to that problem. What you might find is God has a solution to what you're facing. What you might find is God has a promise that addresses that obstacle, right? That you are up against. Meditate and think on Him. The second part of that, the second exercise is this, and I'm not going to stay on it as long as the first because it's more familiar to you, and it is prayer. And when I use the word prayer, I'm using prayer in the form of personal devotion. You know, prayer comes in many forms. There's intercession, there's corporate prayer, there's prayer has prayer for healing, laying on of hands, there's all, but this morning I'm talking about prayer as a personal devotion. And Pastor, what is the difference between the two? The best way I can help us to understand it is to kind of contrast these two to each other. Prayer and meditation are both about connecting to God. It's about giving my soul what it needs most so that I crave what I need most. Meditation, watch this, is being with God. Prayer is conversation with God. They are connected. They're very similar, but they are two different things. There are individuals that I love just being with. And then there are individuals that I love having conversations with because they what? Add value. They add something to my life. And with God, we can accomplish. Well, meditation is just being with God. Prayer is conversation with God. We overcomplicate medication. Meditation is medication for the soul. There's good recovery there, wasn't it, Mike? We overcomplicate this. I think for that reason, it's in fact it's like some of the exercises. I've gone to a physical therapist for some situations a time or two, and they give you this whole page of these exercises to do, and I just have no idea what they're talking about. I'm simple. My name is Glenn. I even spell it with one N. Make this simple for me. Prayer, meditation is being with God. It is sectioning out some time to just be with Him and think on Him. Prayer is conversation with God. Meditation is thinking on God. Prayer is talking to God. Meditation introduces the inner life to us, introduces us to God in our inner lives, and prayer takes that inner life and brings it into the present situation, the present reality. Prayer is active and it's transforming. Richard Foster again said this, to pray is to change. And it is, isn't it? To pray is to change. In prayer, watch this, we learn to desire what He desires, to love what He loves, to will what He wills, to want what He wants, and then to act on it in connection with God. Prayer is working with God because the purpose of prayer, watch this, the purpose of prayer is to connect to God in such a way, to connect to God in such a way that heaven and earth become connected through prayer. We overcomplicate it. What prayer does, prayer exercises the soul. Prayer exercises my mind, my will, my emotions, and my conscience to be in constant communication with God. When I exercise in prayer, it becomes easier then to pray. Thessalonians, remember the verse in Thessalonians says, pray without ceasing. A lot of people find that impossible to do. You know how you pray without ceasing? It starts with praying regularly and consistently. Praying in that way helps us to, it actually helps me when I have a regular prayer time. It helps me if I am in constant communication with God that I can truly do as Thessalonians 5:17 says, I can pray without ceasing. But I don't think we have seen meditation and prayer as spiritual exercises. And yet, that's exactly how they are fashioned in the scripture. They make us stronger in our relationship with Jesus Christ so that I am useful and productive to Him and in a close personal relationship with Him. Wow, there it is. You know what prayer and meditation do? Prayer and meditation give our souls what we need most. It gives us Him. You know what I need most? I need Him. And when I stop and think on Him, when I put everything else to the side, it gives me more of Him. And when I'm in conversation with Him, Daniel, it gives me more of Him. Prayer and meditation give me what my soul needs most. Let me see if I can illustrate it this way. Another thing that professional that professional trainer said to me was this. She said, drink plenty of water. Drink plenty of water. I challenge you to go home and Google the benefits of drinking water. Do you know that somewhere between 75 and 80% of most Westerners are functionally dehydrated? We don't drink enough water. We're so dehydrated that many times our bodies thirst. I'm just going to talk with you just for a second. I'm just trying to make this as plain as we can. Most Westerners are so dehydrated, they don't drink enough water. They're so dehydrated that they actually think they are hungry when they're thirsty. Wow. Do you know that being hydrated, being properly hydrated, not only does it make exercise easier, being properly hydrated actually helps your body to heal once you've exercised. You do understand when you exercise properly, it hurts. Can I get a witness this morning? When you exercise properly, it hurts. Being properly hydrated, watch this. Being properly hydrated helps my body to get rid of the acid that has been built up from me using my muscles. That acid is what makes me sore. Being properly hydrated helps to flush that out. Can I tell you something this morning? Having enough of Him, being hydrated in Him, when you go through life, when you have to walk and talk and act like Jesus through life, sometimes it's going to cause some hurts. Sometimes it's going to be painful, but being hydrated on Him, having enough of Him, will flush that out of your system. You got to have enough of Him, being hydrated enough. The problem, though, is this. The mistake we usually make is we don't drink until we are thirsty. You know that if you wait till you're thirsty, you're already partially dehydrated. In fact, let me just illustrate it this way. Man, I'm enjoying myself this morning. The year I turned 40, I ran a marathon, 26.2 miles. Many of you have heard about this before, and I'm going to tell that whole story again. But something that was interesting to me, the guy that had encouraged me to start running the marathon, he said this to me. He said, every 2 miles, there are going to be tables. And on those tables, there are going to be multiple. The tables are just going to be filled with cups. At the first table, or the first section there will be about 2 swallows of Gatorade. And at the second section, as you go by, there will be about 2 swallows of water. And here's what he told me. Do not pass a single table without getting those 2 swallows of Gatorade and getting those 2 swallows of water. Because here's what he said. Because if you wait until you're thirsty, you're done. You're in trouble. Can I tell you something? Same thing happens to Christians every day. You don't take time. Let me just preach for a moment. You don't take time for God until you are in trouble. You don't talk to God until you need something from Him. You don't have conversation with Him until nobody else can take care of it. And you say, oh my, only God can do this. Where are you, God? You don't have a conversation. The result is you're not hydrated with Him. And listen to me, I'm telling you this morning, if you wait until to pray and meditate on Him until everything falls apart and everything is in trouble, I'm telling you, you're done. My spiritual walk won't survive. My spiritual walk will not survive on just getting a drink when I'm about to thirst to death, on just talking to Him when I need something from Him, of just thinking about Him when I know there's no other way. I must meditate on Him, be filled with Him, be in communication with Him so that I'm hydrated every single day, so that when that obstacle comes, there is at mile 17, 18, or 19 in a marathon, there is what they call the wall. every single marathon, if you've ever run one, every single marathon hits the wall at about mile 17, 18, 19, or 20, somewhere along there, where many of the participants stop and drop off to the side. I'm telling you, there's the same thing that happens in our spiritual lives. But if you are properly hydrated, if you've done the exercises, if you've put in the training that's needed, you can bust through that wall. Why? Because your soul has what it needs most, which is Him. And the way to, the most basic first way for you and I to do that. Now, we're going to be talking about some other spiritual exercises, but these two are simple. These two are simple. The best two ways that I know to hydrate myself being with God is to think on Him, to meditate on Him, to reflect on Him and who He is and all that He has done for me. And then to add to that prayer, where I have conversation, regular conversation and communication with Him. Wow, there it is. Two spiritual exercises that you can do this week: meditation and prayer. And I promise you, not because it's my promise, but it's God's promise, if you will do these things, you will hydrate. You will feel that you've been hydrated. You are fuller of Him than you've ever been before. Why? Because you've properly hydrated your soul. Wow, there it is. See, listen, meditate on God. Here it is in a sentence. Meditate on God. Pray to God, and you will gain what you need most: more of Him. Amen? That's what spiritual exercise does, particularly the exercises of meditation and prayer. I want to end a different way this morning. I've never done this before. 34 years of ministry, I've never done this before. I have no idea how to go. I have no idea how to go. All I know is what the Lord told me. Going to end this in a couple of different ways, a couple of different exercises that we're going to do this morning. We're going to take just a moment, and we are going to meditate on Psalm 23, and then we're going to take a moment and we're going to pray through the Lord's Prayer. Let me tell you why this is so precious and personal to me. Some of you heard this before, particularly if you were here on Wednesday nights a couple of years ago when I was talking about it some. 2014, when I had the vocal cord cancer, was diagnosed with cancer, they weren't sure I'd ever preach again. And there were days during that treatment and recovery from the treatments there, were days that I could only talk 5 to 10 minutes a day. 5 to 10 minutes a day. And when I could, about half of that time I gave to Geraldine. In fact, Geraldine told me during that time, she said, you better not answer your phone and use up my 5 minutes. You text them back. But the other time that I could speak, the majority of the time, I just quoted Psalm 23 out loud and prayed the Lord's Prayer out loud and prayed in the Spirit. I'm telling you, when you don't have but a few words, you want to make sure those words count. You want to make sure those words count. And I'm telling you, that's when I began through 2014 with the cancer, through 2015 with the brain hemorrhage. They told Geraldine not to count on ever seeing me functioning again. In 2016 with the stroke came. I'm telling you, what brought me through those times is meditating on Psalm 23 and praying the Lord's Prayer. When, listen to me, and because I had started praying this and thinking and meditating on Psalm 23, when they was loading me on the helicopter, the Life Flight helicopter, when they were loading me on, I remember thinking, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He makes me walk in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. And it was from that, and since 2014, every day, sometimes multiple times a day, I meditate on Psalm 23 and I pray the Lord's Prayer. Why? Because these are simple, these are simple exercises that make, that adds to my trust and my confidence and my faith in Him. So this morning we're going to do this. We're going to take just a moment. I told you this is strange. If it feels strange to you, it's because you're not used to this exercise. You may actually even feel, just so awkward. But I want us to do it this morning. I want us to take just a moment. First with Psalm 23. And here's what we're going to do. I just want you to close your eyes. I haven't put on any music. And I don't want anyone at this time. I want you to just think on God. I'm gonna walk through this slowly, and as I do, I just want you to think on what's actually being said here. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Come on, just stay right there. Don't let your minds wander. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Come on, just stay right there. Think about what it means when it says, You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Just stay right there. Keep your eyes closed. Let me just from my own personal life, let me tell you what this says to me. And I want you to think on this. The Lord is the Lord, Jehovah God, is the one who leads and guides and protects and provides for me. Therefore, there's nothing that I will need that He can't provide. He calls me to lie down in places that are refreshing, beside places that are renewing. He is restoring my soul right now to somebody that is thirsty. He's hydrating your soul. He's hydrating you this morning. Causes me to walk in places of righteousness. Righteousness, Lord, that's right thinking and right doing. I thank You, God, that You cause me to have right thinking and right doing, Lord, for Your name's sake. I thank You, Lord, that no matter the darkness that comes, I will not dread it because You are right there with me. I'm under Your protective hand and Your watchful eye, and that gives me great comfort. You spread Your banquet of blessings before me. Think on what that means this morning. You spread Your banquet of blessings before me. And my enemies, the ones that want to see me fail, they just have to stand and watch Your abundant blessings in my life, Lord. You pour Your oil on my head so much that my life overflows with Your anointing. So much, Lord, that when I go to the restaurant today, it's going to get on somebody else. So much that when I go to work, it's going to get on somebody else. So much, Lord, that when I stop at the gas station, it's going to touch somebody else that needs it because my life is overflowing with Your anointing, Lord. Surely goodness and mercy, surely Your sovereign plan and Your steadfast, unfailing love are going to overtake me. And I'll dwell in your presence forever. Oh my goodness, this morning, do you feel the hydration of the Spirit this morning? Do you feel him filling your soul? That's what meditation will do. Look at me. That's what meditation will do. That's one exercise. That's just one scripture. I'm telling you, this will transform your life. If you will take a few moments the first of the day. And if you don't know how to do it like, well, do what we just did this week. Take Psalm 23 and do what we just did. Meditate on the word and think on him and all that it means for your life. Now I want us to do this. I want us to do the second spiritual exercise. It's the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is actually not the Lord's Prayer. It's the prayer the Lord gave us. And sometimes we see the Lord's Prayer as just a model prayer. But Jesus said these words, when you pray, say. So it is a model prayer, but it is also a prayer to be prayed. You do understand that this morning, don't you? It's a prayer to be prayed. When you pray, say. So I want us all to say it together this morning. We're just going to walk through it slowly. I put it on the screen so some of you may not be familiar with it or it's familiar enough to quote it, but I want us to say it together. Just follow along with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Listen to me, there is power in praying that prayer. I'll talk about this some more on Wednesday night. I hope you can be here, and we'll go into some more detail. But let me just show you something here. There is in this one prayer, there is praise, there is purpose, there is provision, there is penance or repentance, and there is protection, and then there is praise again. All that you need in a prayer is included in this prayer. I'm not telling you don't pray anything else. I'm saying practice this prayer. Practice this prayer. I'm telling you, these two spiritual exercises, and I know that some of you, I told you, I'm so pumped about this series. My problem is not trying not to preach the whole series every time I preach. Why? Because I know this will change your life. It'll add to the confidence, reliance, and trust you already have in God. Doing these exercises will add to your relationship with him so that you are more useful and more productive for him. Can I challenge you to do something this week? Take an index card and write out on one side Psalms 23 and write out on the other side the Lord's Prayer. I want you to actually do this. Okay, some of you may need a bigger piece of paper. Psalms 23, you might have to write kind of small to get it all on an index. Some of you might need a poster. Just do what you need to do, you know. Can I encourage you? Do this week. Write those two things out and take 5 or 10 minutes first thing in your morning. Please do this and meditate on Psalm 23 and pray the Lord's Prayer out loud and let God speak that into your heart. And I'm telling you, you will discover that God is hydrating your soul because you will be giving your soul what it needs most. And the good news is when you give your soul, Joanne, what it needs most, it craves more of him. And I promise you what's going to happen, that old dry prayer time that you used to have, it's going to begin to fade away. That old dry time that you used to have when you tried to meditate on God, I'm telling you, when you hydrate yourself on what you need most, you will crave him more than ever. And 5 minutes won't be enough, and 10 minutes won't be enough. And before long, you'll be saying, Pastor, I've never prayed like this. I've never felt like this. I've never had a prayer life like this. I've never knew what it meant to meditate and the benefit of it. Why? Because when you hydrate with him, you want more of him. Amen. 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 I want you to stand to your feet this morning. I know I talked for a long time today. I will try to not let every message be this long. But this is so crucial because everything else comes from here. I made a bold statement at the beginning and said, this may be the most important message I've ever preached on your spiritual walk. And the reason it says is because everything else comes from here. The word flows from here. The word coming alive inside of you flows from here. Walking in the spirit comes from here. Serving God comes from here. Everything else comes from this place that is being hydrated with Him. Can I encourage you to hydrate yourselves this week in the presence of the Lord? Father, I thank you and I praise you. Holy Spirit, I feel that you have come right here in this place and you have made these two exercises, spiritual disciplines, you've made them simple and doable and practical in a way that people this week are going to begin to meditate on Psalm 23 and pray the Lord's Prayer. And out of that hydration, Lord, they are going to crave more of you and they're going to find that their prayer lives and their times of being with you and thinking on you are going to be more filled than they've ever before, God, and it will transform their relationship with you, making them more useful and more productive. I thank you for that. I pray that prophetically over this congregation this morning, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This week, get you a card or a poster, whichever you need. Write Psalm 23 on one side, the Lord's Prayer on the other. Meditate and pray it and see if it doesn't start changing your life. Amen. Amen. Until I see you again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Go in the blessings of the Lord. God bless you. I love you. Thank you for being here. Be here Wednesday night. We're going to go even deeper. Love you.